Dublin Sporting Communities, funded by Comisión the Man, with the television licence fee on Sunshine 106.8.
Yeah, well, in the year that's in it, we've decided that we wanted to make a special effort to highlight the different sporting communities across Dublin City and County in this special section of the show. We know that these clubs do a lot for Dublin and many of their listeners are involved in them. So we're kicking off the new year and I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Dr. Anthony O'Connor, chairperson of Ballinteer St. John's. The club has over 160 teams across four codes and it makes a huge impact in the community with over 3,800 members. Dr. Anthony, you're very welcome. Welcome to Dublin's Talking Sport. How are you?
Thanks very much, Reggie. Yeah, thanks.
Great to have you in. And yeah, I mean, we want to try and highlight the amount of work that local clubs are doing with the year that's in it. So your own club, tell us a little bit about it.
Okay, so we're a club based at the foothills of the Dublin Mountains. We have nearly 4,000 members, 165 teams across four codes. We have 2,000 men, women, boys, girls out representing our club colours every weekend. We've had a lot of success, particularly at underage levels in recent years. But I suppose the main success for me is seeing people getting out, mingling, getting active, and really sort of, I think what we do really is turn what would be a suburb into a little town or a village. And I'm very, very proud of that. That's the thing I'm most proud of.
Yeah, and the growth of the game, I suppose, is the thing that you're noticing more so. I mean, those numbers are phenomenal. 3,800 members, absolutely incredible.
Fantastic. And one of the things I'm most proud of is if you look at the sort of under 6 to under 12 level, we have a slight majority of girls over boys, which would have been unthinkable sort of 15, 20 years ago. So that's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, we have done a lot of work over the last number of years here talking about Ladies GAA. Declan Drake certainly promoting the game, no end. But I remember, I can distinctly remember the All-Ireland, the first sort of Ladies All-Ireland finals and maybe 10,000 in Croke Park if we're lucky, and now that's grown to 50,000-60,000 on a regular basis. So as you said, I think the ladies game just the biggest growth factor at the moment.
It's great. We took 500 people to the Ladies All-Ireland final last year from the club. We had buses going over. We have a girl, Orla Nolan, who's just won her second All-Star with the Dublin Ladies Footballers. In my opinion, the finest athlete the club has ever produced. A brilliant soccer player as well, and could probably do whatever she turns her hands to. But we took 500 people over, and one of the nicest things for me was people who were born all over different countries, people whose parents came from all over the world, and they're there inside at a real Dublin occasion looking at Dublin girls winning an All-Ireland and cheering on one of our own neighbours. It was just fantastic. A real feel-good occasion it was for the whole club.
Yeah, you mentioned people from other countries. Are you surprised maybe with some of the nationalities that are taking an interest in playing Gaelic?
It's brilliant. I mean, and you know, there's huge advantages to it as well, because fellas like me who've been playing hurling and football for 40 odd years, we've fallen into bad habits. So when you've got a lad like in my group now, I have a lad from Italy, a lad from Bosnia, a woman from the Czech Republic who help out with the coaching, so they'll go and they'll read it by the book as to how to do it, and they don't have any bad habits to pass on to the kids, so you can really tap into that too. And they come with a wealth of experience from other sports as well, and because of where we're located in Dublin, we're located in an area where rugby is very strong, hurling strong, football, soccer, hockey is very strong, you know, so we can tap into all of that, and it, you can see it in the way our teams play, I think, you know, that sort of influence from other sports, and it's fantastic in other countries, and we're a real diverse bunch and very proud of that.
Yeah, you mentioned other sports because it is interesting, sort of the south of Dublin, GAA, maybe north side much stronger, but like, you know, we're seeing clubs like Coola, Ballyboden, yourselves, the growth is enormous with people from on the south side of the city.
Absolutely, and Kilmacud Crokes, our neighbours and friends, yes, going for a second All-Ireland this weekend. So, but no, it's great, and I do really see that sort of cross-pollination of other sports, and it's a fantastic thing for me to see as a club chair and a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always encouraging rugby players when they're younger, and my own lads, all of them play Gaelic, because for hand-eye coordination and what that brings to you for rugby, it's absolutely incredible. I played it myself for years, and it's a fantastic game, number one, in its own right, but maybe for lads like me, when you start to get a bit bulkier, it's not as easy to play, but you never lose that hand-eye coordination.
Well, what I notice with the young boys and girls who go into the rugby minis is they come back to us, they're very good at evasion, because that's taught very well, I think, in the sort of mini rugby section. So they're very good at evasion, which really helps their Gaelic football and hurling. And look, the more things people are playing, the more people are out, the more people are interacting with one another, a rising tide lifts all boats. And I think it makes our communities in Dublin, you know, much better places to live, I think.
What are the biggest challenges for the club at the moment? I suppose finance would be the one that everybody points to.
Well, we're lucky. We've got good sponsors. We've got lots of members, you know, but obviously finance is an ongoing challenge. The biggest problem for GAA clubs in Dublin is space. You know, space to play, you know, land is not cheap here. So I talk to my counterparts in clubs around the country and they look at the numbers we have and say, wow, that's fantastic, you must have no problems. We've got to find spaces for all these kids to play. We've got to, you know, we really aim to retain all the kids coming through into teenage years and into their 20s and playing on a lifelong basis. We've got to find more and more pitches. And, you know, even up to last night, we're looking at every blade of glass around South Dublin to look at play. And all our peer clubs are the absolute same. I was saying to people, if they left enough Christmas trees outside the house, we'd line them and stick goalposts and nets up outside them. Like,
you're up in Marley Park and around there, is there any room for expansion within that? Have the councils open to that idea?
We have a great partnership with the council and we have a good few pitches in Marley and we use pitches nearby in Broadford as well. But it's just, look, it's a fact of life. It's because of where we live and we've great communities in many ways. But, you know, space is a challenge. But look, you know, the county board are investing in facilities in Spawell and on the other side of the city as well, up by the airport. So all that's going to help as well. But look, that is going to be the ongoing challenge, but we're up for it.
And I suppose you're up for more membership all the time as well. Is there still room for people to come along if they're interested?
Absolutely, 100%. It's the one thing I'm 100% committed to in the club, is that we'll never turn a child away, we'll never have trials, we'll never, you know, anyone who wants to come and play, we'll find a team for you, no matter if you've never played before. Like we've our most recent team we've set up is for the mothers and others team, and you know, at Christmas then all the teams are bled in together, seniors, mothers and others, intermediates, minors. And we had a situation on New Year's Day where we'd all start laying off a pass to an Australian girl who picked up a Gaelic football for the first time in her life 3 months previously, who put the ball over the bar in our parish cup games on St Stephen's Day. And it's fantastic to see things that, geez, where else would you get it? It's great.
That's not a Ballinteer accent. You came up a while ago, I suppose, did you, and just found your home in Ballinteer?
I married a Ballinteer woman, but I'm from Cork myself, as you might have guessed.
I did guess that. I'm the opposite of you. I married a woman who's originally from Cork, but they end up, I'm living where she came from, so that's the way things happen. Anthony, absolute pleasure talking to you. Enjoyed that conversation, and really sounds like a vibrant club, a huge amount of work being done. As I said, over 3,800 members, 160 teams across four codes, and making a huge impact in the community. So thank you very much for being our first guest in this section.
Dublin Sporting Communities, funded by Comishune the Man, with the television license fee on Sunshine 106.8.